Thank you so much. We want to be excited night after night. You just applaud and let God work. And if anybody gets dignified, we know a place you can go and be dignified. But let's just have revival. Amen? And really watch God work. You know, there was a day when they didn't put a preacher on the leash. Well, they're going to tie us up this time, aren't they? I want to thank you for letting me be a part of these days together. And I know that God is going to richly and wonderfully bless as we have these moments, as we share together the work of God. You know, really, I don't care for what singing can do and preaching can do. I want to see what God can do. And that's what we're going to see in these days together. John McKay, of course, is the best there is. If you've got... Yes. What are you doing? You guys get your hands off that, all right? He's holding up his hands back there. The very best you can have is Brother John McKay. So you be here every night. The singing, I promise you, will be great. And you be here to hear the gospel music. Don't you hope we have one of these revivals where we have to bring in extra chairs? And that's what we're going to do. I tell you, the choir's already done that. They've already brought in extra chairs. And that's super. And we hope that you'll just keep bringing your friends, and we're just going to have the kind of revival that John mentioned to you a moment ago that we had in Fort Worth, Texas last week. You know, people right now, various parts of the country, there's unusual Holy Ghost anointing. It's happening in Alabama. It's happening in Louisville. It's happening in California, where revivals are having to be extended, unusual confession, getting right with God, people being saved. And I want to tell you, if that doesn't happen in America, there won't be in America much longer. There just won't be. I believe we've got two choices, either revival or ruin. And America needs a good Holy Spirit revival. The work of God from above. And that's what I know we're going to see this week. Last week in Euless, God started anointing. Crowds got bigger every night. Last year, the church had 210 people saved. But in 1 week, we had 425 people saved. We had twice as many in 1 week as they'd had all last year. So I want to see that happen tonight and every night. And God could give us 100 saved tonight. Wouldn't that be good? He could. He's capable of it. And I just believe that He may indeed do that tonight. Who knows? But I believe it's going to be great. Your spirit is so outstanding. I got to meet with your counselors a moment ago. And I can tell they love the Lord. When you pray with folks, you know they love the Lord. And when the pastor was praying, I could tell your counselors love the Lord Jesus Christ. So night after night, bring your lost friends. That song John sang a moment ago is powerful. I'm so tired of being stirred but not being changed. Often we think if we have the emotion, we've had the transformation, but they're not the same. It's kind of like when your mother told you to eat all of your spinach because of the starving kids in China. The kids were still starving in China, but you ate your spinach. So you cannot help the folks in China by eating your spinach, and neither can you win a lost world by just agreeing that the lost world ought to be won. Now let me tell you something, and then we'll get right on in the message. I'm not here this week to preach to you, because you don't need a preacher. You've got a great preacher. And it's a joy to be with Bill Eliff, my brother-in-law, and Holly, and it's a personal privilege for me, for the first time, to be in one of his churches as an evangelist. But I'm not here to preach to you because you don't need a preacher. And I'm not here to practice preach. I need a lot of practice, but I've got a place to practice. So mark that down. I'm not here to preach, but to give you a preacher. You've got one. And I'm not here just to practice because I've got a place to preach. I had a place tonight, and I could be preaching in our church. But I'm here that together we might all make whatever sacrifice is necessary to have a great revival from above. Is that what you had in mind? I believe it is. And that's what we want to see happen night after night. So don't come up to the pastor tomorrow night and say, well, now, Brother Bill, I tell you, I can be here every night but Thursday night. And on Thursday night, now here's a Baptist phrase, you're going to remember it. On Thursday night, Brother Bill, I've got a previous commitment. Have you ever heard a Baptist say that? Now in Mississippi, they don't say a previous commitment. They say, I've got a prior commitment. Well, folks, if you're saved, you do have a prior commitment. And it's when you made Jesus Lord, that's prior to everything else. So there's no reason for anybody to miss any night. Don't ask the pastor to excuse you. You go ask the world to excuse you, you're going to be in the house of God. Do you know why the things of the world often do better than the things of God? Because the people who claim to be the people of God often support the things of the world more than the things of God. So you be here every night. Go home, make a phone call tonight, cancel something. Be here every night and just watch God work as He is night after night. And if we really mean business for God this week, He's going to just anoint this place. People are being saved like never before. Lives are being changed. And we're going to see it happen in these days together. Take your Bibles, please. How many Bibles? Let me see your Bible. Lift them up. My, you must have a Bible preaching pastor. That's wonderful. That's great. Matthew chapter 13. Tonight I'm preaching on the subject, the wheat or the tare. And I want you to listen so very carefully. I was honest a moment ago when I said, I believe God could give us 100 people saved tonight. So you be praying for God really to work in a wonderful way. Matthew chapter 13, beginning verse 24, there's the story that Jesus told. Now, I believe every word in the Bible to be the infallible, inerrant word of God. I've even been known for believing that. And I do believe that. I believe it with all of my heart. And somebody said, man, I guess you've learned your lesson after 2 years. No, I'm worse. I still believe every word of the Bible to be the word of God. But when Jesus is speaking to me, it is still a little special. Amen? Even though Leviticus is just as important as the book of John, when Jesus is speaking, and He is in this parable, there's an unusual dimension about the story. So tonight we're reading Matthew chapter 13, a story that Jesus told about the wheat and the tare. Listen to it, and then the message will develop. Another parable put He forth unto them. I'm reading Matthew 13, 24. Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came, you know that to be the devil in the story, and sowed tares. Now notice where? Among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. Oh, the servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together, first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Jesus here tells the story of the wheat and the tares. The wheat being sown by Jesus Christ and the tares being sown by Satan in the story. Right in the same field, and we will see that as the message develops. Now you know that Billy Graham has said over and over again that he believes that the greatest mission field on earth are the church roles of an American church. How true that is. I've heard people say that he says 90% of the church members in America are lost. I don't know that. I do know that I've heard him say 60% of the church members in America are lost. And I do know that Billy Graham doesn't know, and I don't know, and you don't know. But I know this, that one of the greatest needs in America is for church members to get saved. Church members to be born again. Church members to really know what it is to give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Why is it that a pastor often pleads and begs and props up and does everything he can to get people excited about the work of God? Why? Because those to whom he speaks have nothing inside of them to which he can appeal. They have never known what it is to be saved. never known what it is to be born again. And this is the very thing that Jesus is talking about right here. Now, folks, I want to tell you, one of the biggest businesses, choir, that the devil is in is getting people to join the church. The devil loves people to join a Southern Baptist church. Man, he wants them down the aisle. He wants them wall to wall. The devil is really excited when people join an evangelistic, Bible-believing church. He eats it up, especially if they're lost. The devil knows if he can get a lot of lost people to join the church. But man, if you can get four or five lost deacons in a deacon's meeting, you can pretty well destroy the church. If you can get a lost lady in WMU, man, you're going to hurt the mission program. If you can get a lost treasurer, you can invite the devil to have his way. You see, if you can get lost people about on every pew of a church, then that church is always going to vote the way the devil wants it to vote and go the way the devil wants it to go. And the devil loves for lost Baptists to move their ladder and join a church. He loves for people to fill the churches who are lost. And you know, we're looking at I don't know how many people tonight that are lost, you've never been saved. I believe within my heart there are numbers of you in this choir that have genuinely never known what it is to be born again. Some time ago, a New York reporter sent me an article. And she had written an article on her dislike for born-again Christians. Her whole article was that she was a once-born Christian. And she said, I don't like the new born-again movement. My friend, if you're not a born-again Christian, you're not a Christian. There's only one kind of Christian, that's a born-again Christian. If you're not a born-again Christian, you're going to die and go to hell. There's only one way to be saved, and that's a personal commitment of your life to Jesus Christ. A spiritual birth. Folks, the born-again movement is not a new movement. It started with the Bible. Some girl came down the aisle of the day to be saved in our church. She said, wow. She said, man, I never thought I'd do this, get saved. She said, my church, we get something else, but Baptists get saved. She said, I never knew I'd do what Baptists said to do. Folks, being saved is not a Baptist preaching. That's Bible preaching. It is God that told you to be saved. It is the Holy Spirit that told you to be saved. It is the Bible that said you were lost. And the world that doesn't know Christ needs to get saved. It is a Bible truth to be born again. It's not a Baptist truth. Jesus tells the story about that. He says there's that farmer that goes out and he plants the good seed. Just fills that seed, that field with seed. Good seed. But all of a sudden, here comes the devil, and he begins to sow the tares. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, in his great exposition of that passage, says, the trouble with the wheat and the tare was, choir, the farmer didn't even know the difference between the wheat and the tare. The farmer didn't know the difference. They looked identical. The tare, listen to me, the tare was not a weed. The tare looked exactly like the wheat. And the only way the harvest ever knew, the only way the farmer ever knew that one was wheat and one was tare was when at the harvest he opened the head of the tare and it was empty. Nothing in it. The wheat and the tare looked exactly alike, and not even the farmer knew which was the real and which was the imitation. Now I want to ask you something. Are you a wheat or are you a tare? That's the question I want you to really ponder tonight. Do you know for certain that you're wheat or are you a tare? I want us to let the message unfold. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. What is the wheat and what is the tare? Well, a tare is lost. The wheat in the story is the saved. You say, man, you're talking to the right church. We got some of them tares. Boy, they hop in like a bunny on Easter. My daddy used to always wish people at Easter a Merry Christmas because he knew he wouldn't see them before Christmas. My friends, I want to tell you something. I want you to understand what a tare is. A tare is not the guy that keeps the beer in the refrigerator. The tare is not the guy that commits adultery. The tare is not the guy that comes in two or three times a year. The tare is not the person that doesn't give his tithes or support the building program. The tare is not the old gossip. The tare is not the church divider. The tare is not the cantankerous, obstreperous person that always has a critical spirit.
A tare is the finest church member in your church, but they're lost. A tare gives every appearance of being a Christian, but is lost. Now let me give you a definition. I want you to hang on to it. A tare is a lost person who gives every single appearance of being saved, but they're a tare. They go, they pray together, they read their Bible together, they study together, they witness together, they put their tithing check in the envelope, they put their money, they sing in the choir together, but one's a wheat and one's a tare. Listen to me, a tare is not a backslider, a tare is not the person that never comes to church, a tare is not that husband that a wife can't ever get to come, a tare is not a person that you never see at church. A tare is a lost person who gives every appearance of being saved. The wheat and the tare looked identically. There's no apparent difference between salt water and fresh water, but there's a difference when you taste it. There's no apparent difference between a live battery and a dead battery, but there's a difference. There's no apparent difference between a loaded gun and an unloaded gun, but there's a difference. And there's no apparent difference between the wheat and the tare, but at the harvest, the difference is heaven and hell. My, what a dramatic difference. Jesus says the farmer comes and he sows that seed, all of that wheat. But then the enemy comes, or the devil, and the devil sows the tares right among the wheat. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says something that your pastor said in his prayer a moment ago. Here Paul says, listen to this, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Now I want to ask you something tonight. In fact, I'm going to ask you to do something you'll never hear me ask you to do again. My life, my heart, my emphasis is evangelism. I want people to be born again. I want people to be saved. But my friend, you listen to me. I don't want anybody here to pray for another lost person to be saved. I don't want anybody here to pray for one of your friends in the choir to be saved. I want every person here tonight to draw a circle around yourself and pray that you know without one shadow of a doubt that you personally have been born again. You're going to pray for yourself, and you just 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 for yourself, and me for myself. All of us are going to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. Now let's see what God says in this story. Number one, I want you to notice, he says the wheat and the tares are planted together. They're sown together. Here they are right in the very same spot. The very same field. They are sown together. There's only one field, but the same field is filled with both wheat and tares. Now what happens in a Baptist church? Two people walk down an aisle. One is saved. They become wheat. The other thinks they're saved, they become a tare. Two go up into the baptistry. One has been buried with Christ to raise to newness of life. The other one just got wet. Two walk an aisle, both are in tears. One was really born again. One just had an overactive tear gland. One is dramatically changed by the power of the living God, but the other one is not changed at all. One is wheat, one is tare. Two go through the baptistry. One has genuinely been saved before. One has not. One's going to heaven. One's going to hell. One's wheat. One's tare. One has been born again. One missed it. You say, preacher, how does that happen? I don't know. How does it happen? How do our churches get filled with tares? The Bible says the wheat and the tares are sown together, right there together. Join the same church, talk together, pray together, live together, but one's wheat and one's tares. How did it happen? I don't know. Maybe one day somebody over-persuaded you. Ask your kid one time how he knew he was saved. He said he filled out the card. Now, you know, we laugh at that, and it is humorous, but it's very sad also, isn't it? Very sad. I don't know how many people have told me, you know, I can never really remember a time when I invited Jesus into my heart and committed myself to Him. I just can't remember doing it. Our churches are filled with people who have a cloudy, fuzzy, hazy remembrance of the fact that maybe, just possibly, they really had a genuine born-again experience. My friend, your salvation experience ought to be a bright light in your memory. It ought to be a joyful experience. It ought to be something you know so well nobody on earth could get you to ever question it. But I want you to know tonight there are scores of you that have never in your life known for sure that you're born again. You say, "Oh, preacher, you don't understand. I'm a licensed preacher." We had five preachers saved last week. I think most preachers ought to be saved. If they're not, don't you? Do you know we had one preacher? Hey, John, do you know who was saved? Who am I going to save? David Stanley was saved. David Stanley, Elvis Presley's brother-in-law, was saved. He got up and he said, "Well, I'm sure glad I got saved tonight, because I start a revival tomorrow night." Boy, if we could get preachers saved before they started preaching, sure would help. Wonderfully and marvelously saved. You say, "Preacher, but I'm a good person." But are you born again? "Well, I'm one of the most outstanding citizens in Norman." But are you born again? "Oh man, you don't understand, preacher. My daddy memorized scripture. He knew more scriptures." They're not wonderful. The devil knows more scriptures than that. But are you born again? You say, "Man, you don't understand. I've been in Trinity Baptist Church for 30 years. Maybe you've been 30 members, a lost member. My friend, I'm not interested in your church membership, your baptisms, your scripture memory, or your prayer life, or your witnessing, or your church attendance. I want to know, has there been a time in your life when you're born again? Some of you have gone to second base, third base, and you're never going to get home because you missed first base. You've never been saved. You've never been saved." You say, "Well, God couldn't work in my life like He has if I weren't saved." The devil could get up and read John 3:16, somebody gets saved. You see, it's not the instrument that gets people saved, it's the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. The Bible says that here the wheat and the tares are sown together. I don't know why you didn't get saved when you made your profession of faith. I don't know why you weren't genuinely saved when you went down to those waters. You say, "Preacher, I'm a good father," but are you a saved father? Mothers here tonight are lost. I'm looking at many of you tonight. You're sitting by somebody that has never genuinely and honestly been born again. And my friend, it doesn't matter how many churches you've joined, how many times you've been baptized, how many times you've gone through catechism. What really matters is, do you know there's been a time when you committed your life to Jesus Christ? The Bible says the wheat and the tares were all sown together. Man, a tare prays like a Christian, talks like a Christian, gives his money like a Christian, gives to Lottie Moon like a Christian, does everything like a Christian. They're all right there, the Bible says. They're planted in the same identical field. Just like some of you. You know what we have represented here tonight? In every section, maybe on every pew, we have both the wheat and the tares. We've got in this choir tonight the wheat and the tares. They look identical. But one's saved, one's lost. One of you's heaven bound, one of you hell bound. Because your decision was not a decision to commit your life to Jesus Christ. I've had people say, "Well, man, yeah, I know I'm going to heaven because I saved back there in 1945. My friend, if you really got saved, there's something different about you. There's a change in your life. The Holy Spirit doesn't encounter you and leave you the same. There's a difference. Now look what the Bible says. The wheat and the tare were planted together. Not only were they planted together, I noticed they progressed together. They just keep growing together. Why, here the helpful, angels come over, and the helpers, and they say to the farmer, "Man, I tell you, we'll get the tares." Remember we read that a moment ago? We'll get the tares out of the field. Jesus says, "Let the tares alone." Because if you go around picking out the tares, what'll happen? You'll get some of the wheat too. You see, every church, if we'd let them, there'd be some in the choir, there'd probably be some on the staff, there'd be some in the deacon's meeting. Every church would love to have tare inspectors. Man, we know who the tares are. We got them pegged. You know, you don't know. I tell you, I've seen little old silver-haired ladies walk the aisle and say to their pastor, "Pastor, I'm 82 years of age, but I'm lost." One of the finest members of our church, been on our church staff for 11 years, was a pastor's wife for 25 years. She taught study courses all over this country. I mean, she had enough study course certificates to reach from her front door to the front door of the Sunday School Board in Nashville. But she is lost. And Tilly Thompson, who had been on our staff for 11 years, past 60 years of age, walked the aisle of our church and said, "Pastor, I never remember a time in my life when I was born again." My friend, you listen to me. If you have ever been born again, when did it happen to you? When did it happen to you? You say, "Do I have to remember the preacher?" No. "Do I have to remember the date?" No. But I tell you, you have to remember the occasion, and you have to remember it happened to you, that you were born again. The Bible says, not only are they planted together, I notice they just progress together. Why? They go to the same youth meeting. They get in the same car and go out in visitation. One's a wheat and one's a tare. They go to the same deacon's meeting. One's wheat, one's tare. One goes to same Sunday school class. One's wheat, one a tare. One congregation tonight, one field, but both wheat and tares are here. God says, let them alone. Boy, you be careful trying to play the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, they come over and they say, "We'll get the tares." An evangelist friend that's not quite as nice as I am had somebody criticize one night when about 30 children got saved. That always raises eyebrows of folks. And so this fellow, according to the evangelist, said, "Man, that's horrible. Look at all these children coming down. What if they didn't know what they were doing? What if they weren't honest in their decision?" The evangelist said, "Sir, if they weren't real, they may turn out like you." Folks, I want to tell you something. You don't know who's a wheat and who's a tare. You say, "Well, I know my wife's saved." No, you don't. "Well, I know Bailey Smith. I believe Bailey Smith's saved." You don't know I'm saved. You don't know John McKay is saved. You don't know my heart. And I tell you what's going to happen tonight and every night, we're going to have the Holy Spirit so powerful and so real that some of you are even going to be surprised that you yourself needed to get saved. A couple of years ago, I preached a revival at Southwood Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. The first night of the revival, the pastor's wife, the pastor's name is Ted Kirsch, still a pastor in this area. Pastor's wife walked the aisle and said to her husband, "Honey, I don't ever remember a time in my life when I was saved." She said, "Sometime at night, I couldn't tell you, but I had a haunting suspicion that I had never in my life been born again." And the pastor's wife got saved. 2 years ago at our crusade, First Baptist Church, Archer City, Texas, brought a bus of over 100 people to our crusade. They came to hear the Imperial sing, but instead they heard the angels sing. Because the pastor's wife, Carol Potts, the wife of Bill Potts, pastor of First Baptist Church, Archer City, Texas, a suburb of Wichita Falls, walked the aisle of that crusade, came down to that front, and she said to her pastor husband later, she says, "Honey, I know I've never been to you what a wife ought to be for a pastor." She said, "The reason is, I've always had in the back of my mind the thought that I had never in my life really been saved." Scores of you like that tonight. Many of you in the choir know that you're a tare. You're not wheat. You look like wheat, but you know the difference. God says one field. They're both planted together and they progress together. But one's saved and one's lost. We had I was preaching in Albuquerque some time ago. A PhD deacon, a PhD in nuclear physics, walked the aisle and said to the pastor, Stan Coffey, said, "Pastor, man, I tell you, I've been a fake all my life. I've never been saved. Man, I got to get saved." He said, "You know, I've memorized scripture. I've witnessed. I've been a soul winner. I've done everything in the church." He said, "I've got every kind of education possible." He worked for the Sandia Corporation. He said, "Man, I know nuclear fission. I know about atomic reactors." He said, "But there's never been a time in my life when I know I've really been saved." My friend, there are scores of you here tonight. that know there has never been a genuine time in your life when you've been born again. You know what some of you did? Let me tell the life story of some of you. When you were about 10 or 11 years of age, somewhere back yonder, some little town, maybe Cordell, USA, man, an invitation was given as a little boy or girl. Man, you came down the aisle. You shook the preacher's hand. You filled out a card. Mom and Daddy came by and hugged you and said, "Oh, how wonderful it is that Tommy got saved tonight." Man, you did pretty good, but you got up to high school. You were kind of rebellious in your heart. Things weren't really right with you. You came to a university somewhere. How did you live? Man, you boozed it up. You sexed it up. You did the whole Animal House scene. I mean, for 4 years of college, you reached over and you took God by the nape of the neck and you stuffed Him in a trunk and you slammed the lid on God for 4 years. You graduated from the university. You lifted up the lid. You reached down and you got old God out and you said, "Now, God, you can use my life if you want to." You got married. You married a sweet little Norman girl. You walked down the aisle of this church and you moved your letter. My friend, if you are saved, you don't live like the devil. There's a change in your life. I want you to know I had the same temptations for sex and alcohol and rebellion that you did during high school and college, but I did not participate in those things because when I found myself getting close and I found myself being tempted, there was something inside of me that would not let me do it. I mean, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? Man, we're teaching today that you can be saved and just literally lie in filth. I believe that a Christian can commit about every sin there is to commit. My friend, you can fall in a mud puddle, but you don't have to lie there. You may fall into sin, but you won't spend any time there. You'll get out of it. Some of you had a period of your life where you didn't care one thing about God at all, and then you came and you had the audacity to move your ladder. What you need to do was to get saved. You needed to be born again. You needed to really give your life to Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, preacher, don't you believe that a Christian can commit fornication?" Yes, about one in a million. I believe most of them living immorally need to be born again. Need to give their life to Jesus Christ. Notice the Bible says the wheat and the tares were all sown together. One of the greatest members of our church. In fact, he's chairman of our deacons. He's a brilliant lawyer. He may come one night and share his testimony. He's a brilliant lawyer, a trial lawyer. His name is Jim Lee. Jim came down the aisle some time ago to be saved. He said, "Preacher, when I was a little boy," he said, "my daddy was the preacher, First Baptist Church, Guymon. Dr. M.J. Lee, one of the finest preachers that ever lived in Oklahoma, said, but you know, one night he said, 'Come forward, come forward, come forward.' And I knew my daddy wanted me to come forward. And I came because of my daddy," he said, "but tonight I'm coming because of Jesus. And I want to be saved." Now you ought to love your dad and honor your dad, but your dad can't get you to heaven. Some of you walked an aisle for some weird, strange reasons, but you have never known a time in your life when you've been born again. A fine, beautiful lady walked the aisle of our church some time ago. She said, "Preacher, I've never been saved." I said, "You haven't?" "No." Her name was Ann, still is. Her name is Ann Abernathy. You say, "Well, what's so strange about Ann Abernathy being saved?" The only thing I know to tell you is her husband is the director of evangelism for the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Her husband is in charge of evangelistic work for the whole state of Oklahoma. He had been pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Tulsa, First Baptist Church, Crossing, Arkansas, First Baptist Church, McAllen, Texas, and all during those pastorates, he lived with a lost wife. She had never been saved. She was a tear. She was one heartbeat from hell. But she gave her life finally and admitted it to Jesus Christ. Do you know why some of you are going to go out of here tonight on your way to hell? Do you know why? You're going to fall at the feet of pride. "Oh, what, man, what will those choir members think? What will our music director think?" Man, I've been in this church for 20 years. What will the pastor think? What will my husband think? My friend, what's important is not what people think, but what God knows. Can you imagine being in hell saying, well, at least I kept my pride. My friend, when you are in the flames of hell, the fact that you kept your pride will be a despicable thought in your mind. The Bible says the wheat and the tares were sown together and they grew together. But I want you to notice, last of all, the Bible says they were known together. Notice what it says. No, don't dig them up. Look at verse 30. Let both grow together. Let them be in the same church. Let them be in the same choir. Let them be in the same deacon's meeting. Let them be in the same WMU. Let them be in the same visitation team. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, look at what he says. Gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. My friend, I'm going to tell you, one day you're going to be found out. You can sing in this choir. You can fool Bailey Smith and Bill Eliff. You can fool your friends sitting around you. But one day you're going to be found out. One day God will let you know that you're a tare. And he says, I want you to take all of the tares, bind them in a bundle, and burn them, but bring the wheat and put it in my Father's house. My friend, in that awful day, it will not matter how much money you've given to this church, how many times you've taught a Sunday school class, how lustily you've sung in this choir, how faithfully you have been as a deacon. The only thing that will matter, have you ever been born again? I'm looking at many of you tonight that need to admit tonight, you are a tare. You look exactly like wheat, but you're a tare, and you're hellbound. Lost as you can be, never been saved. You see, the most horrible thing I know about being deceived is that those that are deceived don't know they're deceived. You say, well, I tell you what, I know the devil wants me to doubt my salvation. Man, I know the devil wants me to doubt my salvation. No, he doesn't. You don't think the devil wants me to doubt my salvation? Of course not. The devil's not dumb. The devil is very smart. You see, why would the devil want you to doubt your salvation? All you'd have to do is come get saved and defeat the devil. The devil does not want you to doubt your salvation. What the devil wants is for you to believe you're saved. When you're not, then he's got you all the way to the gates of hell. If the devil can just convince you that you're saved, then he's got you all the way to the gates of hell. Because you live in false assurance. That's the devil's greatest act. He wants to convince a lost person that he's really saved. A lost deacon, a lost choir member that he's really saved. But never have been. Now let me tell you three ways that the devil deceives. Listen. The devil deceives wicked people with evil works. But he deceives good people, tares, with good works. You say, man, how does the devil mess me up with good works? You know why? You know why some of you think you're going to heaven? Because you sing in the choir. Or because you're a deacon. Or because you tithe. And if the devil can just get you to know, you know what some of you are doing right now? You're rehearsing how wonderful you are. All of your good works. Man, I know I'm saved. Look at all I've done. The devil's smart, isn't he? The devil confirms your lostness by having you to repeat all of the good works you've done. All of the good works. But not by works of righteousness are we saved, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All right, now the devil's going to trip some of you into hell through reminding you of your good works. Secondly, the devil will deceive wicked people by lies, but he deceives the tares or the good people by the truth. You say, man, preacher, how does the devil deceive me by the truth? You know how? Brother Bill Eliff will get up here and preach. You say, amen, I believe that. Amen, I believe that. They'll sing a great song. That's right. You'll hear Billy Graham. That's right. That's right. But my friend, believing the truth and committing yourself to it is totally different. I tell you, I know a lot of people who believe soap can get them clean, but they stink. You know what I'm saying? Will belief in the cleansing power of soap cleanse you? Yes or no? No. You can believe choir all day long that soap will make you clean. You can stay dirty. Soap will not make you clean unless it is applied. You can believe the virgin birth, the second coming, the blood atonement, the efficacy of the work of Christ, and you can believe all of those things, but remember, the devil believes everything I just said. The devil believes the fundamentals of the faith. And you know what some of you have done? You think because you believe it, you've accepted it. The Bible says the devil believes so much, he even trembles at the thought of God. And some of you, oh, I believe the Bible. Yeah, I've raised in Oklahoma. I've just been culturized as a Baptist. But has there ever been a time when you committed your life personally to Jesus Christ? Let me say thirdly, the devil will deceive you not only by good works and by good truth, he'll deceive you by good people. One day a fine little lady dragged you down an aisle. You weren't ready to be saved. One day somebody said your mother's going to be hurt if you don't get saved tonight. All your classmates got saved. You need to go. Parents often do a damaging thing. Said, well, Johnny, you're asking questions. You need to go get baptized. You need to join the church. My friend, you don't join the church. You're born into the church. It is a spiritual birth into the family of God. Some of you are wheat. Some of you are tares. Let me tell you something. Then I'm through. I want us to assume tonight, the Bible says at the harvest, there'll be the wheat taken, it'll be placed into the Father's house, but then the tare will be harvested, it'll be bound and burned. And I want us to assume tonight that this is harvest time. Listen to me. I want us to believe that the enclosure of this auditorium is the judgment bar of God. The judgment bar of God. And all of a sudden, in these doors right over here, I see the angel God has chosen to recognize the wheat from the tare. Shh. Listen. Here comes that angel. Look at this. Look at him. Row 1, row 2, row 3, row 4, row 5. He stops at row number 6. That angel takes a right and he goes over to person 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Man, you can't believe it. That's the person seated near you. And all of a sudden you see that angel take that person and you say, wait a minute, angel, that's my Sunday school teacher. The angel said, but it's a tear. Angel, bring that person back. I know that lady for all these years. The angel says, it's none of your business who's a wheat and tear. God sent me. All of a sudden the angel, look, he comes back through. Same row. Instead of 8 people over, he goes 9 people. This time it's not the person next to you. All of a sudden you feel a vice grip on your wrist that you cannot imagine. Your eyes get a look of horror in them. And as you try to get loose from that angel, you say, angel, what are you doing? Angel, what are you doing? Put me down, put me down. Angel, put me back. And all of a sudden you're led away to be bound and burned because you were not wheat. My friend, one day God says, don't worry, they'll all be together in the choir and the auditorium, but one day they'll be found out. The tares will be bound and burned, but the wheat into my Father's house. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. All of this auditorium tonight, remember 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. I believe out of the choir tonight, many need to come and be saved. There's a deacon here tonight that's lost, a Sunday school teacher, people that don't even go to church, but you lost. You're a tare and you know it. You need to get it right. My friend, don't stumble over your old pride into hell. One of the finest men I ever met was saved last week. He said, man, my pride almost sent me to hell. Wondered what other people would think. You say, Brother Bailey, I don't want to be bound and burned. I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to spend eternity without God. Man, I don't want to be a tare. Well, my friend, you can change. How many of you can say tonight, now listen to me, how many of you can say for an absolute fact that you're wheat? Lift your hand up. Let me hold it up just a minute. I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm wheat. Put it down. All over this building, in this choir, people could not raise their hands. Everywhere. My, no telling what God is going to do to bring tares into wheat tonight. My friend, you cannot raise your hand. You say, Brother Bailey, I don't want to die and go to hell. Man, I don't want to be sown by the devil. You see, they were all in the same field. One started, though, with God. One started with Satan. Some made a decision, but they made a decision for Satan. Some had an experience, but it was an experience with Satan. My friend, I want to ask you tonight, do you want to become wheat? Don't you know you've been tired living a lie all of these years? You have been tired trying to be something that you're not. You say, preacher, that's right. My friend, I want you to get honest tonight. Man, you hide all pride. You hide all pretense. You forget who you are or what you are and just face God right now. You say, preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. What do I do? My friend, if you do not want to be a tare, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't get saved by a formula. You don't get saved by words. But my friend, if you'll mean that from your heart tonight, listen to me. If you mean that from your heart, God will save you tonight. You say, man, preacher, I want to be saved quickly. All right, listen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But those in the choir, those out here, yourself acceptable for the Father's house right now. You pray the prayer silently as I pray it aloud. Listen to me. Pray it in your heart. Dear God, forgive me of my sin. Just pray it with me now, silently, phrase by phrase. Dear God, forgive me of my sin. I want to be saved. Jesus, I do not want to be a tare. I want to be wheat for your house. Jesus, come into my heart and save me tonight. Now, thank you, Christ, for saving me. Nobody is looking around. I'm going to ask that nobody in the choir raise their hands right now. But all of you out in front of me that just now prayed that prayer after me, all of you, lift your hand everywhere. Lift it up. Lift it up. Be honest. Lift it up. Be honest. Be honest. My God bless you. 50, 60 hands. God bless you. Thank you. You may put them down. All right, those of you in the choir that prayed the prayer for me, lift your hand. Lift it up. I want to see it. God bless you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. About 15 in the choir. God bless you. Here's what we're going to do. As when I get through praying in a moment, Brother John will have the choir. We'll not announce the number. But as soon as we stand, the choir will begin singing immediately. When I get through praying, you'll hear me say, amen. And then I'll say, stand to our feet after my prayer. When you hear me say amen, all of us will stand to our feet. But those of you that raised your hands, all of this auditorium, I want you to quickly get to the aisles and make your way forward. Don't you open a hymn book. Do not open your mouth to sing. But all of you in the choir that raised your hand, do not sing. Those of you out here, do not sing. But in one motion, we stand to our feet and you start walking to this front. As soon as your legs straighten, you make your way to this front and make your commitment publicly to Jesus Christ. Don't anybody go away a tear. Don't anybody stay lost. But you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. All of those that prayed the prayer, as soon as my prayer is finished and we stand to our feet, the choir will begin singing immediately and you start walking to this front as soon as your legs get straight. Father in heaven, I thank you for loving us. And oh God, I thank you that so many have been saved tonight. And oh God, I pray that they'll come quickly to make their decision. Oh Father, how the devil right now is trying to sow the tares among the wheat and destroy the church of the living God. Father, I thank you for those in the choir that are going to be coming and those out here. Father, may no one leave lost, but may they all be saved. Oh God, thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for the many counselors that we're going to need right now. Oh God, bring everybody to this front that prayed the prayer, and may every tare become wheat before it's everlastingly too late. For it's in Jesus' blessed name that I pray. Amen. We're standing to our feet. Come on, right now. All of you, out of the choir, you come right now. Everywhere, make your way to an aisle and come. That's right. Don't you wait on anybody else. Way over here, many of you raise your hand. You start coming and make your decision for Christ. Everywhere, out of the choir, you come. Everybody that raised your hand. back here, over here, back in this corner, here in front. Make your decision for Jesus. Don't you leave a tear. The devil's had you long enough. You get that decision right tonight. Be saved before it's too late. Come on. My friend, I don't care if you're a deacon, or you're a big giver, or you're a visitor. You better not be a tear. Come on. You can't rededicate a lost life. You better become wheat. You better be saved. Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody not being honest with God, you be honest tonight. Come on. My friend, you get that decision made tonight. Come on, husband and wife. Who is back there thinking, what will others think? That's the work of the devil. Come on. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Come on. Don't you let old pride send you to hell. You be saved tonight. Come on, athletic star. Come on, pretty lady. Come on, rebellious youth. Come on, doctor, lawyer, businessman. Don't be a tear. Give your life to Jesus. Come on. Praise the Lord. Many have come, but many more ought to be coming. My friend, don't you leave a tear. You give your life to Jesus. Just as you are. Come on. How much longer are you going to wait? What's God going to have to do to get you to get right? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Don't you try to rededicate a lost life. Don't stop short of what God wants you to do. Don't you stop short. You better be saved tonight. If I had one doubt, I'd get it settled tonight. Just one moment. You know, I'm going to ask you to do something that ordinarily I wouldn't ask you to do on the first night. But I feel like we have a friendship and a trust. I want us to do something tonight we do often in our church. We'll talk to each other in invitation. Here's what I want you to do tonight. I want all of us in just a moment to turn to those around you and to say aloud, we'll get those in the choir to do it. I want you to look at the person next to you and say this. I know that I'm wheat. Are you? John, if you'll just let them be quiet now. The choir will talk to each other too. And the choir will look at each other. Those in the choir say, I know I'm wheat. Are you? And my friend, if that bothers you to say it, or if it bothers you to hear it, then you need to get down here. Let's do it right now. Let's do it right now. Brother, I'm wheat. Are you? I'm wheat.
today, my friend, the choir's going to start singing. If you found somebody that couldn't say it, bring them to this front. If that bothered you to do it, you need to get saved. Come on, choir is singing. You come right now. Come on. Come on. Did you find somebody that couldn't say it? Amen. Come on. Did that make you feel uncomfortable? Then you need to get down here. Come on. A Christian loves to talk about being saved. He loves to tell other people that he's saved. Come on. Come on. Come on, dear friends. Let go and let God have His way. Find somebody you need to help bring to Jesus. Do it right now. Somebody you needed to help bring to Jesus. Come on right now. One last verse and we're going to be through. Come on. Don't you quench the Spirit tonight. Come on. Step up and be counted for Jesus' sake. Come on, dear friend. You know your wheat. Don't you leave lost. Don't you leave lost. Just a moment more and we're through. If you're going to come, you're going to have to come. Come on.
Christ is so concerned with brothers love you turn.
Are you a wheat or a tare?
Don't you know here?
One day you'll be found out.
From sin
God knows.
Set you free. Someday before He's wrong. For sins you must atone. Someone will wait too long for you the one.
Amen. Don't you love to see God work? Amen.
Amen.
That was a bad amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hey, thank you, son. I appreciate that. Tomorrow night I'm going to be preaching a message. I want you to hear, spread the word, seven kinds of people God will not save. Seven kinds of people God will not save. Bring your lost people. How many of you know somebody lost you'd like to see get saved? Raise your hand. Let's see. All right. I believe that's unanimous. So you bring him tomorrow night. You may be seated. Thank you.